Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Yesterday we discussed three classifications of devotees on the basis of attachment and love for Krishna. And we discussed how association with a pure devotee is effective. Now, one point that we have discussed before, but which we can mention again, is that when the Uttama Adhikari has to preach, or wants to preach, he has to come to the Madhyam platform. For example, in the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says that one should associate with and faithfully serve the pure devotee who is completely free from the propensity to criticize others. The Uttama Adhikari does not criticize others because he sees everyone in relationship with Krishna. But when he preaches, he has to criticize. Once, when I went to Madras, I found that practically the whole city was full of impersonalists. And they did not like the fact that I was preaching against impersonalism and demigod worship. And they often told me that I should not criticize. I should only speak positively about what we are doing. But I should not criticize what others are doing. And finally they compared us unfavorably to the Gaudiya Math there. They said that the Gaudiya Math there has very nice celebration of Krishna Janmashtami. And they're very well accepted by people there, but they never criticize. So why should you criticize? I wrote Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada wrote back that the fact is that I am the only person in India who is openly criticizing not only impersonalism and demigod worship, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. And we must declare it boldly that unless people surrender to Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can never have any peace or happiness. He said, My Guru Maharaj never compromised. compromise. Similarly, I shall never compromise, and neither should any of my disciples compromise. So, sometimes by reading the books, one may not actually be able to understand the activities of a pure devotee. But actually, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, we saw that he criticized not only non-devotees, but he even criticized his own disciples and even his godbrothers. But for the sake of preaching, he did it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was satisfied just to know that someone was serving Krishna. And he would not entertain any criticism of any Vaishnava or any person. If he saw that they were that the person was serving Krishna, that was enough. He didn't want to discuss further. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that even the Mahabhagavata, when he preaches, he acts on the intermediate platform and he sees faults and he finds faults and he criticizes. But when he criticizes, he only does so for the sake of the people, that they may give up false attachments to karma or jnana or yoga or anything else and surrender fully to Krishna and serve him. There's no malice or envy or offense.
So, does that mean that his realization in Krishna consciousness, that he sort of voluntarily reduces it, or is it just that he's just voluntarily acting, like sort of putting it on as if he's a Madhyamadhikari?
There is one similarity between the Madhyamadhikari and the Uttamadhikari, in that they see that everyone is suffering from separation from Krishna. Now, the Uttama Adhikari, he is also suffering in the mood of separation from Krishna. And the Madhyama Adhikari sees that conditioned souls are suffering in the material world in separation from Krishna. And both the Uttama Adhikari and the Madhyama Adhikari want to bring people to Krishna. In one case, he thinks that the others are serving Krishna better than me, so they should be given the chance to serve Krishna directly. Srila Prabhupada says even Srimati Radharani has Mahabhagavata. She sees that everyone is serving Krishna better than her, and so she wants to arrange for them to be with Krishna. So the Madhyamadhikari also He wants to bring others to Krishna. You could say for the
Didn't you say that Uttam Adhikari sees that everyone is serving Krishna already?
Yeah. So that's why if he's going to remain on the Uttama platform, he can't preach. So in order to preach, he has to come to the Madhyam platform, which he does for the sake of the service of the Lord. By the will of the Lord. Just like the...
As a Madhyamadikar, as an Uttamadikar, he always sees everybody Krishna conscious. So how then he can possibly come down and preach to bring people to Madhya Krishna consciousness? Which one is it? What is more, you know, what realization is it to Uttamadikari to really see everybody is already serving Krishna? I mean, how is he seeing that? That he then can decide that they're actually not, that they're not serving Krishna, they're in Maya.
The vision of the Uttamadikari is so expanded that he sees the presence of Krishna everywhere. And he sees the energy of Krishna is also not different from Krishna. And the people who are serving the energy of Krishna are also serving Krishna. He doesn't distinguish between direct service and indirect service. Madhyamadikari can also see that ultimately everyone is serving Krishna. But some are serving directly and some are serving indirectly. Like in the prison, the prisoners are also serving the nation. They go and break rocks and build roads. They're also serving the nation. But they're serving by force. Whereas the free citizens are serving voluntarily. So the Uttamadikari, he just sees that everyone is serving. He doesn't distinguish between directly and indirectly. But the Madhyamadikari distinguishes. Now here, because the Uttamadikari is also surrendered to Krishna, he will accept the role of Madhyamadikari for the sake of Krishna's service. And Yoga Maya will help him to act as Madhyamadikari. Yoga Maya is very influential. And everyone, including Krishna, comes under the influence of Yoga Maya. When Krishna is in Vrindavan, by the influence of Yoga Maya, he doesn't think that he's God. When Mother Yasoda picks up the stick to punish Krishna, and Krishna becomes afraid and tears come to his eyes, and he starts to run and hide, he's not pretending. He's actually feeling afraid by the influence of Yoga Maya. Generally, Krishna is not aware of the fact that he is God when he's in Vrindavan. Only if some demon comes, or some threat, or some calamity comes to the devotees, then Yoga Maya allows him to know that he's God. Because if he didn't know that he was God then, he would never be able to swallow the forest fire, he would never be able to lift Govardhan Hill. Would never be able to do so many things. So temporarily, she allows him to remember that he's God so that he can give protection to his devotees. And then again, he forgets. If we see the associates of Lord Chaitanya, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they are eternally liberated souls. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, they don't think that they're liberated souls. They think that they're conditioned souls who have been saved by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Vaishnavas. So when they describe themselves as being most fallen and having been saved from the deep well of material existence by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others, they're also not pretending. At the time, they're not thinking that I'm so-and-so in Krishna's pastimes. I'm ever liberated. They're not thinking like that. So, such things are accomplished by the agency of Yoga Maya.
Okay, I can understand that, but how could a Uttamakari possibly think that, let's say, people on 42nd Street in Times Square in New York City are serving Krishna?
How can an Uttamakari
think? Yes, because everybody is serving Krishna, directly or indirectly, but they're going to hell. And so how can he think that they are, properly engaged, properly situated, modest?
Do you mean to say devotees never go to hell?
Well,
they're no servants of Krishna in hell.
I don't know what I can imagine there is.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The devotees of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, can go anywhere and everywhere,
right.
And they do go. So we cannot say that that the Uttama Adhikari cannot see that devotional service is going on in hell. This is also as good as hell. So if it can go on here, then it can go on there.
Right, but what I mean is, for devotees, no problem. They can go anywhere, right? But
he sees that all are devotees.
Wouldn't he see that some of the devotees are engaged in sinful activity?
Okay, I will tell one story, which includes Srila Prabhupada's own statements. We were in Indore, in Madhya Pradesh, with Srila Prabhupada, and every day many Hindus used to come and argue with him. One day he complained, actually, that they come with their own ideas to the guru. And then they check the guru to what extent he agrees with their existing ideas. And if he agrees with them, then he's very good. And if he doesn't agree, then they don't like him. So one person came, and Srila Prabhupada started criticizing. Maybe Vivekananda or anyone. And then the man started to challenge Srila Prabhupada that you should not criticize anyone. That saintly persons should not criticize, but they should see everyone equally. And then he quoted the verse, Pandita Samadarshana, that he sees a dog, a cow, an elephant, a Brahmin, a dog eater, all the same. Then Srila Prabhupada said that I'm not on that platform. He said, I'm not on that platform. How is it that someone sees a Brahmin and a dog the same? How does someone take birth as a Brahmin and how does someone take birth as a dog? If he performs pious activities, he can take birth as a Brahmin. And if he performs sinful activities, he can take birth as a dog. So for him to see the Brahmin and the dog equally means that he makes no distinction between pious activities and sinful activities. He sees them all the same. But I'm not on that platform. I see that, you're committing sinful activities, you should stop. So then the man said, there were different turns in the conversation, but the man said that because Prabhupada kept quoting the previous acharyas, and then the man challenged that you're just quoting the previous acharyas, you know, what is your contribution? And Prabhupada said, no contribution. I only quote the previous acharyas. I have no contribution. Then again, the discussion continued, and in the end, Srila Prabhupada said that he has made Krishna consciousness available to persons all over the world, which no one has ever done before. And he said that is his contribution. Because the man was saying that every acharya should make some contribution beyond what the previous acharyas did. So he said, this is my contribution, and this is my samadarshana. That I see that they're all eligible to serve Krishna. But if we, you know, understand some of the verses of the Gita properly, we'll see that they apply to Uttama Adhikaris, like Pandita Samadarshana. It makes no distinction between a Brahmin and a dog.
Maharishi, you were describing how in a Madhyama platform criticism takes place to sever attachments. It seems that there may be another category of criticism and that Prabhupada would point out the shortcomings, you know, maybe not dealing directly with the person severs attachment, but the instruction set to show pitfalls.
Yes, that's true. Like Srila Prabhupada said about the scientist, that when you criticize the scientist, he may not accept. But the innocent people who may be misled by the materialistic scientist, they will hear and they will benefit. He said, just like you're sitting next to someone and you call him a thief. So he may not accept that he's a thief. But all the innocent people will be warned that you have said that he's a thief, and they'll be careful. That is.
In this whole area of the Madhyama criticizing, it's not considered offense because there's no envy involved. Even like you gave the example of Rupa Goswami's Krishna Lila meditation,
yeah.
And he chuckled when it's deformed Mahamantaya, and then yeah. The man took offense, and that was offense. Now, there was obviously no envy there, but you know, like at the end of Prabhupada's pastimes, he was very apologetic, and seemingly remorseful over he said so many things for preaching.
We should be very careful. Because, except for Uttama Adhikaris, all others are prone to envy. There can be some trace. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. But basically, we should follow the example of the tortoise as given by Krishna in the Gita, that he only extends his limbs when there's need, otherwise he keeps them inside. So we also should not extend ourselves or our criticism unless required. But in the immature stage, we are prone to see faults in Vaishnavas with no benefit to the Vaishnava or to us. And sometimes the faults are imagined. Srila Prabhupada, I'll give another example. Tamal Krishna Goswami was telling me about his editor today. That sometimes when his editor would be correcting his manuscripts, there would be some quote from Srila Prabhupada, but he would miss the fact that the quote was from Srila Prabhupada, and he thought that it was Tamal Krishna Goswami. And then he would take out his red pen and start making all sorts of corrections. Then, at the end of the quote, he'd realize that actually it was a quote from Srila Prabhupada, and it wasn't a subject for him to edit and correct. So we should be careful, in other words. We should be careful, unless we're sure that there's some deviation in terms of scripture or Vaishnava etiquette, we shouldn't criticize. You see, where if the author asks the editor to edit, then there's no fault on the part of the editor, because he's been asked to edit for the sake of service. Like Umapati Swami told a funny story also, that in the beginning, you know, Srila Prabhupada asked him to edit his letters, maybe, or whatever he had written. So it was a typed page, and Srila Prabhupada said, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And one Sri was at the end of one line, and the other Sri was at the beginning of the next line. So he thought that maybe the typist made some mistake, because he never heard Sri Sri Radha Krishna, he only heard Sri Radha Krishna. So he thought maybe when the typist was typing, he typed Sri, and then, you know, inadvertently typed Sri again. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, it is written here Sri Sri Radha Krishna, but should it not be Sri Radha Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said, I have asked you to make corrections in your language, not in my language. So, and then even after that, he commented to the other devotee, well, he's trying to correct me in my own language. So, we should know, you know, when to criticize or correct and when not to. Apart from how, that's another point. But in austerity of speech mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that that one should only speak things that are pleasing to others and which are beneficial to others. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if one is in the position of instructor, he can criticize the student, or he can correct the student. But he shouldn't do the same with persons who are not his students. So it depends on our relationship or our service, whether we correct someone or chastise someone or not. But in the case of parent and child, or teacher and student, guru and disciple, they have to. Srila Prabhupada said it's the duty of the spiritual master to find fault with the disciple. And he quoted Chanakya Pandit that one should not flatter a student or a son, because he'll become spoiled. But one should point out the faults so that he can improve. So I noticed in the way that Srila Prabhupada would deal with people personally, in the lecture, he could say anything on the basis of philosophy. But in personal dealings, he was very friendly. Prabhupada was speaking about Dr. Mishra, who had accommodated Srila Prabhupada in the early days in New York City. He said that when it came to philosophy, we would argue like anything. He said one time we were in the back of the car and he started speaking Mayavadi nonsense and I couldn't control myself. I just couldn't tolerate it. But but we were very good friends. And Srila Prabhupada used to cook for him. He was sick, and by Prabhupada's cooking, he recovered. So we should be able to understand the difference between the arena of philosophy and the arena of personal relationship. Of course, we should not associate intimately with non-devotees, that's something else. But still, one should deal nicely with someone, even if in terms of philosophy one may disagree. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of lawyers, that in the court they may argue very vehemently, but when they're outside of the courtroom, they're friends. And they have dinner together, and they talk together, and joke together. The fact that they were arguing on the basis of law in the courtroom doesn't mean that they can't be friends outside of the courtroom. So Madhyamadhikari he's very expert how to deal. Actually, Jiva Goswami says that Kanistha Adhikaris are more or less useless for practical purposes because they don't know how to deal with people. They have some disagreement, they get upset or they get excited, and they can't, they don't know how to deal.
One point that and I think it's in the point is made that one of the causes of Vaishnava, in particular the blasphemy, is that association kind of leads into this sexual,
yes,
life,
yes.
Association with the rules. That's what's, yeah. That's one of the main points it's attributed. It lose your discretion and powers.
So now, here's the point. And this is why the Madhyamadhikari distinguishes between innocent persons and envious persons. Purnachandra Prabhu asks, what is the definition of innocent person? So part of the definition is that he's not envious. And the other part of the definition is that he's receptive. He's open. And therefore, the Madhyamadhikari should only preach to innocent persons, apart from subordinate devotees. And he should neglect the envious. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the neglect of the envious by the Madhyamadhikari Vaishnava does not show lack of mercy, but it is the best way to show mercy to them. Because if we go to preach to them, they will not like it. And they'll most likely become more hostile. So in order to check the feelings of hostility on both sides, the preacher should not approach him. But he says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, that he can think of how to bring benefit to the envious person, like Prahlad Maharaj. He was thinking how to deliver the fools and rascals. So that is appropriate for the Madhyamadhikari to think of giving mercy to every living entity. but not necessarily in the way of directly going and preaching to him, but somehow or other engaging him, knowingly or unknowingly, engaging him. Like when we have big festivals, colorful festivals, lots of nice kirtan and nice prasad, anyone can participate. Even people who might react, if we approach them directly to preach, they may appreciate. And we see practically, maybe even with our parents, like our parents may not be devotees, they may not be innocent, even. And, you know, if we try to preach to them, they may not like it. They may get worse. I know from personal experience, because, you know, I don't know how, but somehow or other we got on the subject of the astronauts going to the moon. And, you know, when my father heard that we didn't believe that they went to the moon, he couldn't believe it. I mean, he really, I mean, I could see he was just like, there was no hope of convincing him. But to the contrary, he was just thinking that, you know, we are just really crazy fellows. So the offense of preaching to the faithless is somewhat related, because what is the definition of faithful and faithless? Faithful means he has to have faith in the scripture. So unless the person has faith in the scripture, you cannot preach on the basis of what the scripture says. You can only preach to create faith in the scripture in the person, which is done by discussing the four defects and explaining how we cannot have perfect knowledge because we have four defects. So if we want perfect knowledge, we have to go to perfect authority, like that. But otherwise, if we say that by chanting the holy name, you become freed from more sinful reactions, then you can commit sins, he won't accept it because he doesn't have faith in the scriptures. So that's offense, because he'll just disbelieve what you're saying. So either we have to preach on the basis of logic and argument, or preach on the basis of logic and argument to convince them to accept the scriptures. Then when they have faith in the scriptures, then we can say anything according to, you know, what they are able to understand at the time. Because in one conversation where Prabhupada was speaking to one professor in Sweden, he was talking about the holy name. We can always request people to chant Hare Krishna. But then one disciple in the room started to preach about the glories of chanting. But the professor hadn't accepted the authority of scripture. And Srila Prabhupada stopped the disciple and he said, this is offense. So Madhyamadhikari is expert. He should be expert in order to really preach. Means know how to deal with people, how to distinguish between different types of persons and how to deal with them appropriately. This is clearly explained in the two verses that we didn't get to discuss too much yesterday about in Lord Chaitanya's discussions with Satyaraj Khan about how to recognize the Vaishnava. But in the description of the Madhyamadhikari, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Madhyamadhikari can clearly distinguish between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. And he will only associate intimately with pure devotees. He won't associate intimately with mixed devotees. But Kanistha Adhikaris can't distinguish. So they have to be respectful to everyone. And their position is difficult. their position is difficult. Because unless one can really distinguish between a pure devotee, a mixed devotee, a pretender, a Mayavadi, an atheist, and so on, one can make mistakes. Now, we won't be able to discuss everything in the book, but we should read and know what's in the book, at least what's stated in the verses. So now we have to come to the point about non-devotees. Now, in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami has mentioned six exchanges of love shared among devotees. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that the other side of the injunction is that one should not engage in such reciprocations with non-devotees. So, there are six reciprocations, but they will be applied differently according to the status of the devotee that we're dealing with. So we have to know what our own status is and what the other devotee's status is. Then we can deal in the appropriate way. We also have to be able to distinguish between a devotee and a non-devotee. Or not even a non-devotee, but a person who we should not associate with intimately. So we'll jump over to text 86 just for a moment, and then we'll go to 87. What I want to point out about text 86 is that by the association of devotees, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati, the last line, that Shraddha, which means faith, Rati, which means attraction or bhava, and bhakti, which here means love or prema, they follow one after the other by chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord in the association of pure devotees. In other words, the association of pure devotees is not for the benefit of beginning devotees only, but it's for the benefit of all types of devotees. And by such association, one achieves, one after the other, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Now we come to the important verse, text 87. Asat sang tyaga e vaishnavachar. A Vaishnava should avoid the association of ordinary people. Now, who is asat, or ordinary? Stri sangi, ek asadu. He is one type of non-devotee or unsaintly person. Krishna abhakta are. And those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna are another. So there's two categories. One may be devotee, but attached to women and sense gratification. And the other is not devotee at all. So Srila Prabhupada has explained Stri Sangi as someone who associates with women for the purpose of sense gratification. Of course, he should not associate with any woman except his wife. But even with his wife, he should only associate according to religious principles. And if he doesn't follow the religious principles governing the association of husband and wife, then he comes in the same category of Stri Sangi. And we should not associate with him intimately. then Krishna a bhakta. Generally, we know who is a devotee, and so we know who is not a devotee. But still, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given three categories of non-devotees. One is the Mayavadi. Another is the pretender. The pretender is someone who dresses like a Vaishnav and acts like a Vaishnav for the sake of earning a living, for the sake of getting some material benefit. And then the atheist. So we should not associate intimately with any of them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur further says that if we avoid intimate association with such non-devotees, who may be accepted as devotees by other persons, and if the other persons criticize us for not accepting the non-devotees, then we should reject the association of them also. Just like there are many Hindus who cannot distinguish between a devotee and a non-devotee. And they may have sentimental attachment to non-devotees who are Bhagavad reciters or whatever. And if we don't want to associate intimately with such persons, they criticize us that we are fanatical, we are closed-minded, or we are sectarian, or whatever. We should also not associate intimately with them. It means the people that are criticizing us for not associating with non-devotees. So this is very subtle. This is very subtle, and again, unless one has some spiritual maturity, he won't be able to distinguish clearly. But all the instructions that we're reading here in Chaitanya Charitamrita or in Upadeshamrita about association are meant for Madhyamadikaris. They're meant for Madhyamadikaris, or to bring people to the platform of Madhyamadikari, to be able to make distinctions. Otherwise we get in trouble. Unless, you know, we're in the association of advanced devotee who can guide us in practical. Like when we first came to Bombay, just to show you how subtle association is and how concerned Srila Prabhupada was about it, there were no accommodations for the devotees. So we very quickly built erected some tents. And at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu, there are 6 pukka buildings and 3 outhouses at the back. And the outhouses did not have attached toilets. So there were 2 common toilets at the back. So Srila Prabhupada said that we should not use the same toilets as the karmis. But he had us dig holes in the ground and put up chetai walls, that means like straw, something like straw, chetai walls, and go there. He didn't even want us to pass stool in the same place as them. This is a satsang tyag. Really? Then, you know, we had no facility, and the tenants, they had at least proper buildings. They had refrigerators. They had cold water, some of them. And we had nothing. So some of the devotees got in the habit of calling on the tenants, asking for some cold water, maybe sitting down with them and talking for some minutes. And when Srila Prabhupada heard, he became very upset. And he said they should not do that. And actually, the result was very bad for the tenants and the devotees, because the relationship deteriorated. They would get into mundane talks, and you know, the whole situation deteriorated. So we have to be careful. We can go, if they're innocent, we can go and preach, but we should not mingle intimately with them. One more example, which also shows how expert Srila Prabhupada was on both levels of knowing how not to avoid intimately with a person and at the same time knowing how to encourage a person. But we had some very wealthy, enthusiastic, favorable members in Pune. And they had some land in Panchgani Mahabaleshwar outside Bombay, which is a hill station and a good place, especially in the hot season. So they were going to give us, they said they were going to give us, they had one house, nice bungalow, and 50 acres of land. So we went to Pune and met the family there, then we joined with them and drove to Panchgani Mahabaleshwar. And they brought us to the house. And I think the older brother and his wife were already in the house and they had prepared prasad. So, Srila Prabhupada was very charming, as usual. And he was saying that, oh, this is the best prasadam I've ever had. I've eaten so much, I never eat so much. Isn't it true? I only usually eat one or two chapatis, but today I ate so many chapatis, it was so delicious. But they were so happy. then they went out, I don't know what they went out for in the afternoon. And so Prabhupada took some rest, and he came out of the room into the drawing room, the sitting room. He just sat down, you know, without any announcement or anything, and he said, let's discuss Bhagavad Gita. So a few devotees who were there came, and the older brother and the second brother had gone out, only the younger brother was there, who was a follower of Rajneesh. So he came, there was some discussion, and gradually the others came. Then, next morning, at 4 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada had already been up for some time and was translating in the next room. It was a big house, so there were many bedrooms. So we were in the room next to Prabhupada's. So he called for the servant at about 4 o'clock. And actually, the servant and all of us were asleep. So the servant just got up and somehow did something and went in. Then Srila Prabhupada was very grave and silent. And he said, do you hear that? And the servant was listening. Do you hear that? Do you hear that sound from the next room? What is that? And the servant said, Srila Prabhupada, that's snoring. Srila Prabhupada said, I know it's snoring. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Wake them up. They should not be sleeping now. Then he said, wake them up, they should take bath, and then they should come in. Then we came in, and then Srila Prabhupada said, we must leave this place immediately. He said, although it was agreed that we would stay for 3 days, but he said that if we stay here for one more day, we'll all be finished. He said, you know, we've only spent one night here, and we're already sleeping late in the morning. And then he spoke about the meal. Because although the prasad was very good, Punjabi khana, but it was served on, in America we say lazy Susan. I don't know what to say in other places. It's a disc that rotates. And there are different, so the containers with the dal, different sabjis, pakoras, and chutney, and everything was there. So, and nobody was serving. So everyone would sit at the table, and when somebody wanted more of something, he'd turn the lazy Susan, and you know, there would be serving spoons. You'd take, you know, but it wasn't clean. And Srila Prabhupada pointed that out, and he said that, you know, we're eating from the same bowls and the same utensils as them, and, you know, basically he felt that we'd already fallen down, just by the fact that we were sleeping at 4 or 5 in the morning. He thought we had already fallen down, and the reason was from intimate association with the family. So then we said, well, how will we explain it, because we already said that you would stay for 3 days. He said, well, you can use the plea of my health, that my digestion is not good, and I got diarrhea, and I have to go back to Bombay. So he said, immediately, pack and get ready. So we packed and got ready, and by the time, before the family had awoken, all the bags were packed, and we were ready to go, just waiting for them to get up. So they got up. Srila Prabhupada himself explained that he's not feeling well, so he went to go back to Bombay. So he left. Then, 2 or 3 days later, the older brother came to Bombay, or maybe both of the first and the second came. And again, we didn't really know how to deal because of the way Prabhupada had spoken about them and left. But Srila Prabhupada said, oh, you must immediately make prasad for them, and, you know, we must take very good care of them. They're very important people. They're good friends of ours. And, you know, he was very warm and very gracious with them. So this is expert. In other words, he wanted to encourage them, he wanted to engage them, but at the same time, he didn't want us to be affected by too much intimate association with them. So you have to learn how to do that, how to keep the proper relationship, how to keep the proper distance, and at the same time, encourage them. So. the last homework assignment, which was to outline or summarize the reading and the discussion can still be handed in. It's not too late. And then we'll have the same type of assignment for the present week over the weekend.
Including the last class.
Yeah. This is actually to help us to review and understand what we've read and discussed, so that we're prepared. And then Monday, we'll have the exam.
Yeah, but on Monday's a good Saturday, because we missed.
We could have, Saturday is Parikrama day. We could have on Sunday. I keep thinking maybe I'll combine two, but the subjects are not getting combined. Each subject is taking one class.
So you want to give us the paper on Monday, and we're going to have the test on Monday, so.
Yeah, the test will help you prepare. I mean, the homework will help you to prepare for the exam.